This is a production of the ZTalk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Wow. It's dark. Well, let's have some light on the subject.
Put on your critical thinking caps and please refrain from hugging. It's time for Dimland Radio with your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons.
Hello and welcome to Dimland Radio here on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Remember, I'm not really a doctor. I just play doctor online. And let me get myself adjusted in my chair here, or my stool. I am coming to you once again from the basement of Nostalgia Zone, which is a comic book store in Minneapolis. You can go online to our website and our online catalog, which is at nostalgiazone.com. You can become a member of our membership. You'll save 10% on your purchases right away, and you will earn points with each purchase that you can turn into savings down the road. You can let those points accrue, or you can use them each time you make a new purchase. We sell back issues of comic books only, as far as and magazines. That's what you'll find on our website. We do have other kinds of odds and ends and weird stuff in the store itself that's not on our website. But if you're a comic book collector or a magazine collector, you're into magazines-wise, you're into like Famous Monsters of Film Land or Heavy Metal or National Lampoon, we've got that kind of stuff. Mad Magazine, we've got some of that stuff. So check out our website, become a member of our membership, save 10%. We ship anywhere. Most domestic shipping, the charge is for shipping is like $8. If you're a member and you spend over $50 with us, you'll get free shipping. I think that's the whole deal. And that's on domestic stuff. We will ship, internationally, but, that'll cost a little different. Anyway, so that's the deal. That's where I am. I'm in this basement. Now, I must warn you, as I begin the show, my throat has a little scratch to it, or it's a little dry. And I might be clearing my throat a little more than I like to do on the show, and maybe a cough or two. So I'll just warn you, or I'll be pausing a little more often to have a little liquid beverage in order to keep the throat at least a little more comfortable. Just warning you up top. So I may have mentioned this in the past, and I'm sure I have, that Amy, my wife, and I, later this year, will be going on a trip. We sold our house, and when we were in that process of selling the house, at some point I said to Amy, you know, once we've got this done, and we've got the money from selling the house, which we got a pretty good chunk, we're not rich, but we got a pretty good chunk of money. Once we've done all that, and we've got that kind of settled and taken care of, we should go somewhere. We should take a trip somewhere. And she asked, where would I want to go? And I said, well, I'd kind of like to go back to London. Back in the winter of 1996, in February, my friend John and I went to London for 5 days. We just, John noticed that the airfares to London were pretty reasonable in those days. He said, you know, we could just go for like 5 days and just kind of knock around, check things out, and just, you know, what do you think? So I thought, okay, fine. So I needed to get a passport because I had never flown anywhere. That was the first, I'd never gone out of the country. Well, I'd gone to Tijuana and to Canada, but those were in the days when you didn't need a passport to do that. You do now. I'm not sure about Mexico. I think you do. Anyway, but I know you do for Canada. So anyway, and this was the first place that I'd ever flown to. I'd never been in a long flight kind of thing. I'd been in one of those when I was about two or three. My family all piled into one of those planes that takes off of the water and just up in Duluth or Brainerd or somewhere around there. They had this, you know, you pay, you know, $20 for your family to fly around for 10 minutes and then come back or something like that. That was back, $20 was a lot of money back in the late 60s. So, I've done that, and then sometime in the 70s, mid-70s, I was up in a helicopter, another little attraction kind of thing for the opening of a new location for this bank that an uncle of mine was a vice president at, so we got to fly in a helicopter. There was helicopter rides, and I think we didn't have to pay for it, so, because, you know, we knew the vice president of the bank. Anyway, so those are the only flights I've taken. This was the first time going anywhere. So I flew to London. That's where I discovered that my ears do not like pressurized cabins. Ooh, they do not like them. I was in pain. My head was in a fishbowl. I'm looking around at everybody else in the plane, and I'm thinking, is everybody going through this? Is this what happens on flights? What the hell's going on? And I learned that, no, you know, some people have that. You know, they're... The pressurized cabin bugs their ears, and you got to do the thing where you plug your nose and you blow, you close your mouth, plug your nose, and you blow real hard until your ears pop. That's what you're supposed to do. And the last time I flew somewhere, I tried that, but I'm not sure that I blew hard enough. That was the last time I flew in a pressurized cabin. I mean, you know, there was that flight to Fargo I took a little while ago, not that long ago actually. But that was not in a pressurized cabin. But anyway, so, and chew gum, of course, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so I had to get a passport. And I never had one. I think I got this passport sort of like squeaked in because there was government shutdown stuff was happening at that point. Bill Clinton was president all those days. You know, we had a reasonable president. Yeah, I know. He lied under oath. And he should have been impeached. I maintain that. Should he have been kicked out of office because of lying under oath? At the time, I would have said yes. But now I'd say, I don't know. I don't think that rises to that. But he should have been impeached. He did lie when he was under oath. I think that's an impeachable offense. I mean, you're supposed to be the top law enforcement officer in the land when you're president. And if you're undermining the judicial system by lying under oath, you got to face some consequences there. And I don't care what he was lying about. I don't care. I don't care if it was a speeding ticket. I don't care if it was, the extramarital affair he was having. I don't care. So anyway, it was at that time. The Republicans were shutting down the government because that's what they like to do. And because if they don't get their way, they hold their breath and shut down the government. I just squeaked in to get my passport. Just squeaked in. So I got it. Well, I only used it on that one trip. Only used it to go to London, and I'd never used it since. And so, it's good for like 10 years or something. And then it expired, and I didn't, So what? That's how it goes. Well, now that Amy and I want to go do some traveling, need a new passport. Amy needed a new passport. She had one also, but that had expired. So we arranged to get the passports and all that. And, you get your picture taken and go that. Now, there was a difference between my, this is what I'm getting to. There's a lot of difference between my 1996 passport and my 2023 passport. Or was it 2024? Can't remember exactly when I got it. But anyway. Near enough. There's a couple of differences. One, I was wearing my glasses in the 1996 one. And I remember when I was getting the picture taken, the person that was doing that was saying, oh, maybe I should have had you take your glasses off because I think they want people with their glasses. Well, we got the picture. We'll send it through. We'll see what they do. And there was no worries. I got the passport with me, picture of me. I was 31 years old at the time. There I am wearing my glasses. So now I get this other one, this other passport. Well, this time, they did make me take my glasses off. So that's okay, fine. And I was 59 or 58 at that point. 59. And which is what I am right now. 59 years old. It's hard to believe. So I, got the passport. And I, you know, you have to bring out your old passport to them. If you still have it, you have to bring that, and they take that back, and then they do whatever they do with it. And then they send it back to you when, eventually, you get that back, you get your birth certificate back, you get, you know, you have to give these things to, you know, the passport people. So they make their, to make your passport, make sure you're you. So I dug out the old passport of mine, and I looked at the picture. Now, I am wearing glasses, and I look horrible. I'm a bit of a narcissist. I'll admit it. I'm a bit of a narcissist. I look at myself when I walk by mirrors. I do that. It's just something I do. You know, I'm checking it. How's my hair look? Or, you know, I do it. I don't have a problem listening to this show. You know, I listen back to it on the Saturday nights when it plays so that I can, you know, make sure I remember to put something in the show notes or whatever. And to hear how I do the show and see if I can improve or what did I do wrong or, oh, I was tapping on something, I shouldn't do that. You know, just, I do these things, right? And I don't mind seeing pictures of myself, generally. You know, so I admit, I'm a bit of a narcissist. I'm not a malignant narcissist, you know, but a bit of a narcissist. So I saw this picture and I went, holy shit, what the hell is wrong with me? What's it? I will put these on the show notes page. Go to dimland.com, click on the show notes /blog option, and you will get to the show notes for this week's show. And you will see this picture. And I was, like I said, I was 31 years old there. I don't have any facial hair. I've worn a beard for a long, long time. Beard, mustache, the whole, you know, whole thing. And I like it a certain trim, certain way, so it frames my face, doesn't take over my face. You know, I don't grow it up onto the cheeks, even though I could, but I don't like how that looks. So, you know, I do the beard the way I like my beard. But then I didn't have one. And my face looks like it's a thumb. Like you drew a little bit of hair on the top and eyes within glasses and a nose and a mouth, and you're just holding up a thumb. That's what it looks like. I look horrible. And I look bloated. And I think, wow, look at what drinking can do to you. Because I attribute at least some of it to drinking. Now, not that I was a huge, heavy drinker or anything like that, but that was in my days when I was, I did more drinking. And in fact, I was tailing off by then. I was beginning to, you know, by the time I was like 29, I was thinking, these hangovers are a pain in the ass. Well, in the head, really. And I don't like them. I really don't like, I don't know how I handled it when I was younger. I'd go out and get a snoot full, and then the next morning, I mean, get up in the morning and go work at Wendy's, open the store, do the work, and do all this, and I'd be fine by the time heading home. It's like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't get it. that's not generally how I you know, it started to not work that way. When I was younger, it did, but it started to not work. So I didn't, you know, it's like, I don't get why I was doing all that, but I'm going to start tailing off. And I was, but not quite to where I'm at now. When I hardly ever have much to drink, ever. And I have a feeling that that's part of why I look so horrible in that picture. So I looked at it. I showed this picture to people that I currently work with. You know, I showed it, and they said, "That's you." It's, yeah, that's me. What was wrong with you? So then I get the new picture, and you know, if I say so myself, looks pretty good. Now the lighting is a little where it's very much on the top, so my eyes kind of disappear. I mean, they're there, but they're kind of not there. You know, because they're in shadow so much. But, you know, I got the beard, I got a little gray, and I got a little, I got some character in there that I didn't have back then. At least I don't look like I'm some old drunk. I'll put it on the show notes page. You can take a look and see, you know, what a difference how many years makes. you know, not quite 30 years makes, like 28 years or something. Oh, gosh, I tell you. So, you know this about me. I'm not easily offended, but I am easily annoyed. Oh, yes, I am. I am easily annoyed. And you know, a friend of mine was talking to me about this, and he says, these little things bug you. I said, yep, the little things really do. Little things, but he says, do you have any energy left for the big things? And I said, usually the big things I handle better. It's the little annoyances that just, ugh. And this is something, I suppose we could call this a pedantic moment. I'm not going to play the sounder because I don't have it loaded in. We can call this a pedantic moment. There is a series of television ads. All right. Now, I know I say this anytime I start bringing up commercials, television ads and that. Who watches those? Well, I do. As I'm watching a sporting event, I can't, you know, I'm watching it through, you know, Roku or on Hulu or something. I can't just flip the channel. About the best I can do is mute it. You know, that's about the best I can do. And usually muting it makes it less annoying. But there's this it's for Xfinity, you know, the internet connecting place, Xfinity, and they have a series of ads where they have a kid telling slightly younger kids how much better they have it than when they were their age. Oh, you mean like 3 years ago, 4 years ago? I look at that, I go, okay, all right, that's their little clever little bit, right? And there's a few of these ads, but there's two in particular that raise some things with me. All right, it's two brothers. I'm assuming they're brothers. And the older brother is what? 13? 14? Maybe? The younger brother is 10? All right, so the younger brother is sitting. There's one ad where they're sitting out on the front steps of their house, and the kids, the younger brother's on his tablet, and the older brother's just looking and saying, "You kids have it so much better these days." And the little kids, you know, the little brother says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, you get Wi-Fi everywhere, you know," and it says, "Even in the basement." And then the little kid thinks, "Oh, the basement? Yeah, I could have a party down there. And I could finally get with, you know, that chick, that young girl that I like." And they show them dancing, you know. They're dancing, they're holding each other, you know, kind of dancing. But they're leaving space for the Holy Spirit in between them. Because, you know, you got to leave that space for the Holy Spirit. Because you don't want to be rubbing up against each other while you're dancing. The Holy Spirit wants to be doing that. Oh, the Holy Spirit loves getting in between a young boy and a young girl and having them both rubbing up on them. Oh, the Holy Spirit loves that. So leave that room for the Holy Spirit. Anyway, so there's this, you know, this is what the kid's thinking. We can have a party in the basement and I could finally maybe, you know, get in with that girl I like. Right? So then the older brother says something about, you know, because the little brother says, you know, maybe we'll get married someday. And the older brother says something, it says like, geez, I wonder what I'll be doing then. And the little brother says, we're probably still living with mom and dad. And the older brother just shakes his head. Nah. All right, then the other ad, same two kids, same setup, kind of, except this time they're walking within their house and they're headed to the basement because, you know, the Wi-Fi works all over the house, even in the basement. And they look down the stairs into the basement. And the stairway down and the wall you see down there kind of look creepy, I guess. At least that's what we're supposed to think. And the kids say, you know, it's kind of creepy down there. The older brother says that. So the little brother, who's got the tablet again, calls up a GIF. I don't know. Of a baby doll waving. And he shows it to his older brother and says, does this make it any better? And the older brother says, well, actually, it makes it worse. I mean, this little brother is an asshole to his older brother. He's not, I don't see that the older brother needs to get this kind of treatment. You know, being told that you're still going to be living with mom and dad when I'm married with this girl that I know at this, at, you know, now, which is not going to happen, kid. Not likely. And then, the creepy basement. Here, does this creepy GIF make it any better? And actually, the GIF or GIF should have been, you know, from Blair Witch Project with the kid standing in the corner in the basement in the Blair Witch house. You know, that, you know, remember that movie? There's, he was standing. That, you know, because that's a basement, see? And it would be, you know, that connection kind of thing. But then, you know, you got to get licensing and all that stuff. So then I think, well, which is it? Which basement is it? Is it the basement that's the party room? Or is it the basement that's the creepy dungeon? It's the same kids. I was assuming it's the same house. But then it hit me. These are kids of divorce. Mom's got the house with the party basement. Dad's got the house with the dungeon. That's what it is. Anyway, when you see that ad, you'll know. Did I get to my first break? I did. You're listening to Dimland Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. Let me call this up. All right. And I will return after this break. Sit tight.
Hey, this is Danny Potts from the Kentucky Ghost Chasers, and you're listening to Z-Talk Radio.
When, oh when, will someone design an exploding head emoticon? Please, someone, anyone. You're listening to Dimland Radio on Z-Talk Radio Network.
The Earth is only 6,000 years old. That's what Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum say, and how can a museum be wrong?
Isn't Dr. Oz just wonderful? I loved today's episode. It didn't talk down to his adoring audience of women at all.
Science has proved that the subatomic quantum realm is as real as it is counterintuitive and bizarre. Therefore, I can use it to support quantum healing and quantum consciousness. After all, how can journals like Aquarius Metaphysics be wrong?
Evolution is just a theory. After all, if we came from monkeys, then why are there still monkeys?
We all have friends and family who believe these things and much more. Well, if you're a rational thinker who is tired of arguing on social media and never getting anywhere, we have a solution for you.
Join the Guerrilla Skepticism Wikipedia team, and we will teach you how to add reliable scientific and skeptical information to the world's number one source of information, Wikipedia.
We write new articles and improve existing ones. We remove pseudoscience, paranormal, and alt-ment claims, substituting the actual facts. And we operate in many languages.
We've already reached tens of millions of people searching for information, but as you can imagine, we can never do enough.
So please, join us. All you need is a PC and the desire to help educate the planet. In fact, you'll be educating the world while you sleep.
Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com.
Guerrilla Skepticism.
The time is now.
Music by purpleplanet.com.
We give those other guys the finger.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
I can still recall. And welcome back to Dimland Radio here on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Remember, I'm not really a doctor. Oh, I say at the beginning of the show. But I'm not really a doctor. Really, I'm not. So, anyway, this show is dropping on, it's playing on Z-Talk on Saturday, March 16th. 3 days after my 14-year anniversary of doing Dimland Radio here on ZTalk Radio, which I talked about last week, so let's not go over that again. I just was getting another chance to somebody say congratulations. Anyway, Since it's so close to St. Patrick's Day, which is tomorrow, I thought I'd tell the story, my St. Patrick's Day story. And it's something I've told on the show before. I told it, I think this happened in a time when, it happened a long time ago. Hayden was younger, much younger. I don't know how much younger, but much younger. And it was not St. Patrick's Day per se. It was during the night after St. Patrick's Day. So midnight had come. It's the 18th. It's, you know, but the revelers are still reveling, I imagine. I was at home in bed at about 3 in the morning. I get awakened by the sound of like metal crashing into something. Just bam. I hear this sound. I wake up. I sit up. I say, okay, what was that? And then I hear Amy calling from Hayden's room, which overlooks the street on which, this is in our old house, the street in which that we parked our van that we had at the time. And Amy calls from Hayden's room to me, says, somebody's just crashed into our van. Oh, great. I thought to myself, so I get up and I start to head downstairs. And as I'm heading downstairs, Amy calls after me. They're taking off. Something like that. I grab our cordless phone. I'm not sure we had a cell phone at the time. We might have, but I think I grabbed the cordless phone. And I head out of the house. And the way the house was, you know, the back door, you come out and you have to turn to the left to go down the steps from the house. And then there's a little walkway, more steps, and then out to the sidewalk or to the street. And that's right where we would park our van. And there's a tree on the boulevard right there. So I come out, I turn left, and I look ahead, and I see there's a car, indeed, crashed there, but not into our van. It's crashed into the tree. Backward. That's right. Its trunk was crumpled all the way up to the back seat. It was a four-door, I think, you know, like sedan or something. And the tree is just, like, centered in that trunk and just of their car and pushed right up to the back seat. Back window is exploded. There's glass all over the place. There was glass thrown like 50 feet down the sidewalk and the side of our hill. And it was just all the way down there. Maybe even farther down. And our van had glass all over that too. Because the back window just exploded apparently. And as I see this car there, I notice that there's a man standing at the driver's side window of that car, looking in and talking to the people in the car. And I hear him say something like, I'm sorry, are you guys okay? That kind of thing. But I'm not really paying that much attention to him. I'm just looking at this car crashed into our tree, trying to figure out, how is it crashed backwards into our tree? What the hell? You know, and so I approach the guy that was out there talking to whoever's in the car, he walks off. And again, I'm not paying a lot of attention to him. I just see the direction he heads in, and I just, you know, whatever. I'm more concerned about what's going on here and the people in the car. So I start walking around, and I'm looking in. There's three young people there. They're in their 20s somewhere. And it's two women and a man. And I walk around looking, and I'm saying, are you guys okay? Has anybody called 911? What, you know, how are you doing? You know, what's going on? That kind of thing. Has anybody called 911? So they hadn't, so I did. And I get on with the operator, and I'm telling them what had occurred here. I got a car crashed into my tree here on my boulevard, and I got three people in the car, and they start getting out at this point. And then they start talking to me and telling me what had happened. So what had happened was the three of them were heading back to one of the houses that, one of them, you know, and they're heading back there after a night of reveling. And they were only just a few blocks away when they're driving along that street alongside our house. And there's somebody, this guy that I saw walk off, is standing in the center of the street. So the woman that's driving the car, she stops. She looks at this guy, says, what do we do? And the guy starts walking toward their car. So she puts it in reverse and she starts backing up. So this makes the guy accelerate his walking toward the car and pull a shotgun out of his pants. She sees the shotgun. She just floors it in reverse, goes up onto the curb, and crashes into our tree. And that's when I woke up, and that's when Amy goes into Hayden's room, looks out the window, tells me that they're crashing into the van. And then she says to the guys that they're taking off while she was seeing that the guy had walked away. The guy that was, you know, standing in the street with a shotgun, we found out later. He was walking away, but he stopped. And she said, Amy told me later, he stopped in the intersection, turned around and came back to the car. And this is as I'm heading out of the house. So that's when I'm hearing him say, I'm sorry. And, you know, well, apparently he explained to these kids, you know, before I came out of the house, he was telling them, somebody had beat up his sister, and he thought they were in this car, and he's really sorry, and he hopes everybody's okay, and that's when I come in. So I'm telling all this information to the 911 operator. And as soon as she hears shotgun, it's, gun? Someone has a gun? Who has a gun? I said, nobody here has a gun now. The person, that there was somebody here with a gun, they're gone. They walked off. I'm not even sure they went. Well, police got there pretty quick. And one officer was talking to the three individuals in the car, and then talked to me about what I saw, and then talked to Amy about what she saw. And other police cars are driving up and down the streets with their flashlights or their spotlights on and looking. I think there was a cop with a dog walking around up and down the blocks to see if they could find this guy. I don't know that they ever did. I don't know whatever happened. Now, so this is taking place, and one of the young people, their mom came. To help out with the situation, and they got a tow truck out there, and they took the car away, and the mom thanked me for helping, and you know, so off to bed. And the next day, I got done with work, and I came over to, you know, got home, and I was going to say, well, I suppose I got a lot of cleanup to do. And the mom had come back, and she was cleaning up the glass. She's sweeping up the street, she's sweeping on the sidewalk, and I helped her get things fixed up, and she said to me that the kids, when they got home, they just kept saying, thank God Jim was there. Thank God Jim was there. Now, they didn't know me before this. They just found out what my name. The mom found out my name and talked to the kids. And they said, well, thank God Jim was there. Thank God Jim was there. I didn't really do anything. I just came out of the house and, you know, are you okay? And I called 911. But a friend of mine at the time, when I was talking about this, she said, well, think of it this way. You were the first friendly face they saw after this incident. You were the calming person that came around and looked into the car and said, are you guys okay? You know, I'm going to call 911. You know, that was you. So you helped bring them back into the real world. Because that's got to be a surreal moment. And so, okay, I'm glad I was able to do that. Although, if I knew the guy had a gun, I don't think I'd have left the house. I'd have just called the police from inside. But, yeah, and the one image that sticks with me, other than the car itself wrapped, you know, backed into our tree, the tree was okay, the van was okay, it didn't get hurt, it got some glass on it, but, you know, it was fine. But the other image that I have is that when those kids got out of the car, they all grabbed their cigarettes and they lit up and they started smoking very aggressively, trying to calm themselves down. And it's a little humorous for me to look at them and say, look at them go. But, you know, I can understand it. It's got to be a moment that's got to be so stressful that I guess, you know, smoking a cigarette can help calm you down. This might be another pedantic moment. I don't know. So that's my St. Patrick's Day story. So this might be a pedantic moment as well, but I saw a meme shared on the Facebook, and it had a picture of Columbo, the greatest television detective ever, but only the 70s series. Now, I shouldn't say too much about when he returned in the late 80s and into the 90s. And I don't know how long Peter Falk was the actor. I don't know how much longer he played Columbo. But I've only seen little bits of that show, of the return of Columbo stuff. I've only seen little bits of it. And it all looks like shit to me. There might be some good episodes in there. I don't know. I just don't want to give any kind of time to watch to find out. I own the original series on DVD. you know, the seven seasons in which he's, I don't know how many episodes that is, but it was all part of a like a Sunday night mystery or Wednesday night mystery. I'm not, you know, they changed days of the week, but it was a rotating series that all went under like the mystery thing. So there was McMillan and wife, there was McLeod, there was Banachek, and there was Columbo. And then there were other characters that were would be brought in, and so they would trade off. One week it would be McMillan and wife, the next week it would be Columbo, and then the next week it would be Banachek, and the next week so on and so on. So there was like maybe, there might be six or seven Columbo episodes in a season. And so, and he's the greatest TV detective. I love the Columbo series. Some episodes, not so great. Some episodes are just fantastic, and I watch them again and again. And so I see this Columbo character. And well, like I've said about the 80s ones began to look too much like television. 80s television. It began to look like that. It looked like Murder, She Wrote, Matlock. That's what it looked like to me. That's what it felt like to me when I watched little bits of it. I thought, this just doesn't work. It's still Columbo, it's still the character, but I've heard other people reviewing like the newer episodes and saying that his character became more cartoonish, more of a caricature of Columbo than the Columbo character that we got to know in the 70s series. Some of those episodes in the 70s series look like, you know, they're very cinematic. They could have been in a theater, that kind of thing. They have that feel, some of them, especially the early, early ones. So, anyway. So I see Columbo in the thing, and I thought, okay, what's this about? And it has Columbo essentially saying this, and I'm not going to do the impression. So let me get this straight. I go to the grocery store and buy a pound of sliced ham in a plastic bag, a loaf of bread in a plastic bag, a gallon of milk in a plastic jug, a pack of napkins in plastic wrap, four store-made salads, a store-made salad in a plastic tub, a plastic bottle of mustard and ketchup, not together, two plastic bottles actually should be, you know. Anyway, because, I mean, who puts ketchup and mustard together in a bottle? Who does that? But they won't give me a plastic bag to carry it home because the plastic bag is bad for the environment. And it ends with this. It's either is baffled, which doesn't seem like that's what it should be, or it's eyes baffled, like I is baffled. The rest of it has got the sort of the Columbo voice, the rest of it, but the eyes baffled, if that's what that's supposed to be, I'll put the meme on the show notes page, you'll see it. If that's not Columbo at all. He didn't talk like that. He would have just said, I'm baffled. Gee, that's strange. Now, the point I understand in this, that all this stuff, all this food stuff and things that the person's getting from the store comes in plastic. You know, it's all this stuff, right? But they won't give the plastic bag, because I think like states like California, I think California doesn't do the plastic grocery bags. I think that's true. You know, they prefer the paper plastic or the paper grocery bags, or, you know, you get those reusable bag things that are made out of nylon or canvas or whatever. And they prefer that, which I understand the point here. I get it. It's like, okay, there's all this other stuff that's in plastic, but we can't use a plastic bag to take it home. I look at it, it's like, well, this seems to be like the, you know, it's either the perfect solution or it's no solution or there's nothing. It's all or nothing. It's like this fallacy that unless everything is right, let's not do any of it. You know, so unless we get rid of all the plastic, let's not get rid of any of the plastic. See, that's what that looks like to me. He says, yes, yes, you are correct. All this other stuff comes in plastic, and yes, the plastic is bad for the environment. You know, there is a debate over which is worse for the environment, you know, paper bags or plastic bags. There's a Skeptoid episode that Brian Dunning did, and as I recall it, and I might be wrong, it on all the points, that, you know, the merits and demerits of each, it's kind of even. It's kind of even. But plastic in the environment does seem to tip over a little bit more, you know, than using paper bags or reusable bags. But it's not, you know, I the idea of let's keep plastic out of the environment as much as we can, I think it's a good idea if there's a way to let's go back to the old ways, the old milk carton type shape stuff, and let's go back to that where it's not plastic, but maybe there's plastic in them now. I don't know. But not using plastic bags to take your groceries home, that's just, you know, just that much plastic that doesn't get into the environment. If we stop using that, well, we can work on getting the rest of the stuff out of plastic containers and into something else that's going to be more friendly to the environment. I understand that that's something we should try to do, but, you know, if this meme seems to be saying, well, since all the rest of the stuff is in plastic, why don't we just use plastic bags anyway? Well, it's doing something to minimize at least some of the plastic getting into the environment. So that's just an observation I had on that little meme. And the eyes baffled. I just, I don't know why somebody put that in there. That just doesn't make sense to me that they would say eyes baffled. Yeah, anyway, let's see. Is it time for another break? Let me see. Where's my time? Where's my time? Well, I think I will take another break just now because why not? So you're listening to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Jim Fitzsimmons. I will return after this break.
Every day she takes a morning bath, she wets her hair, wraps a towel around her as she's heading for the bedroom chair. It's just another day. Stepping into shoes, dipping in the pocket of her raincoat. It's just another day at the office where the papers grow. She takes a break, drinks another coffee, and she finds it hard to stay awake.
I am living on Channel Z.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
I am living on Channel Z.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio's Redheaded Stepchild. It's Dr. Dim on Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you think Bigfoot is real? Do you suspect that your neighbor is really Val Tor, leader of the lizard people of Bendar 3? Well, Dr. Dim doesn't, and he'll tell you why when you tune in to Dimland Radio Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern on Z-Talk Radio Network. It's an hour of science promotion, pop culture rants, personal observation, and of course, skepticism. Join Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons, Saturday nights, 11 Central, midnight Eastern for Dimland Radio on Z-Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Dimland Radio here on the Z-Talk Radio Network at ztalkradio.com. I'm your host, Jim, Dr. Dim Fitzsimmons. Let's see what we got for this last segment. There is a man in Germany who has been vaccinated for COVID 217 times. The article on CNN, which I'll link to, says that that's essentially one jab every 4 days. How he worked it out, I don't know. There was some worry that he was getting vaccine cards for people who didn't want to take the vaccine. I don't think that's something why he was doing it. The article didn't have that information, just saying that was a concern, that maybe that's what he was doing, but apparently it's not what he was doing, from what I gather. Why did he want so many of the vaccinations? I don't know. There must be some psychological explanation for this behavior. Don't know. It's very strange. 217. How he pulled it off, I don't know. But it does show something to the anti-vax, cranks out there, that the idea that, too many vaccines, too soon, too many vaccines, are getting too many vaccines. Yeah, especially with the kids. It goes to show that that argument may not have much weight, because the guy suffered no real, no ill effects. There's no adverse health effects. He's never had COVID. They don't know if he doesn't have COVID because of all the vaccines, maybe. But there doesn't seem to be much of an effect on the immune response, good or bad. It's not very significant either way. It's just a strange episode. Now, the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, their show from last week, they do a deeper dive into this, and they talk about, what the study of this guy had found out, some of the stuff. I mean, they said, wow, we can't, ethically, we can't force, scientists can't force somebody to take 217 vaccines. And they would not advise this, that anybody do this. But since somebody did, they said, well, let's study this guy. Let's check his blood. Let's check his, let's see how his immune system is. Let's see how he's been affected by it. And of course, he's an individual. So, individual reaction may be a bit different from other individuals. So, but it's just 217 vaccinations. And I think that's like from June 2021 to, some later in 2023 or something like that. So the article will have it. It'll be on the show notes. But 217. But, he didn't die. He didn't get COVID. He didn't grow a third arm. Half of his blood is microchips from, Bill Gates, of course, because that's what's in the vaccine. Yes, it is. It's in the vaccine. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Although, we do have the conspiracy theory anti-vax ticket. For presidency, we have Robert Kennedy Jr., crank of all cranks, who's an anti-vaxxer. Of course, he'll say, I'm not anti-vax. It's just that you're anti-vax. And just talk about how you shouldn't get vaccinated and all this stuff. And so he's considering a vice president at this point. Maybe I'll go with Jesse Ventura, who's a conspiracy theorist. I don't know how he feels about the vaccines, but he's a conspiracy theorist. He's, the Kennedy thing. He thinks that, everybody in the world killed Kennedy except for Oswald. And then there's the other choice is Aaron Rodgers. Football phenom Aaron Rodgers, who, didn't take the vaccine. And who's anti-vax. So we got a nice anti-vax conspiracy theory ticket brewing, which hopefully will pull votes from the asshole who gets to run for president. Anyway, I'll stay away from that a bit. Don't want to get too mired in the politics, but that's just, isn't that great? The anti-vax conspiracy theorist ticket. So, I do this every now and then, talk about this kind of stuff every now and then and remind you, if you do watch television commercials and you see commercials for medicinal remedies, for drugs, for supplements, if you see it, there's a difference between the two. An actual pharmaceutical drug, an actual bit of medicine that really works, in those ads, more often than not, I think all of them, I mean an ad for Tylenol and aspirin or, you know, Excedrin or something, they don't generally have the side effects and warnings, you know, at the end of the ad, or that take up most of the end of the ad. It's like more than half of the ad. They go through and tell you, well, you know, common side effects are, you know, dry mouth, itchy skin, sore throat, dizziness, you know, these kinds of things. They'll tell you that. Or they'll say, you know, or you know, erections lasting more than 4 hours, talk to your doctor. Tell your doctor if you're on high blood pressure medication, which your doctor should know, but you tell your doctor if you're pregnant or planning to get pregnant. You know, there's all these kinds of things in there. Now, the bullshit supplements that are out there, you know, the stuff like Doug Flutie and Frank Thomas, two former, you know, pro sports athletes, they're hawking some bullshit, you know, men's enhancement, you know, testosterone booster stuff that, you know, she'll like too. Ha ha, wink wink. You know, they're out golfing in one of their ads, and some regular person sees them and says, "Oh, Doug Flutie and Frank Thomas, you guys look like you could be playing today." They don't. But, you know, because they're too old and they wouldn't be able to play today. But, you know, and they don't look like they could still play. But they go, "Well, what's your secret?" And they just say, "Well, it's this bullshit stuff here." Of course, they don't say that. But it's this stuff, you know, take it, enhance it, all that. There's an easy way. If you're watching this on television, you see the commercial. There's an easy way to know the difference between the medicine that likely works and the stuff that's bullshit. And the easy way is, as I said, the actual pharmaceutical stuff will have a list of side effects and warnings at the end of the ad. The bullshit remedies will have, in very small type, at the bottom of the screen at some point in the ad, and a lot of times it's in a little box at the bottom of the screen. There's a border around the text, and the text reads as follows: "These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease." And whenever I see that in an ad, it's like, okay, the ad is saying you can do some kind of thing, like grow back your hair, or make you more of a man, or make you more of a woman, or something. Like, there's an ad where it's for hair stuff, and there's a woman on there saying, you know, she's having the hair that she was meant to have. And I'm saying, what, you were losing your hair? Weren't you meant to lose your hair? Because it's now you're going, if you're saying that this is what nature intended you to have, was a nice full head of hair, but you're losing your hair, isn't that nature telling you that that's you're meant to have less hair? It's fine if the stuff actually works, but I have my doubts, because I see that disclaimer at the bottom of the ad. And I turn to Amy and says, "You know what that means?" And she knows what it means because I do this all the time. He says, "That means it's probably bullshit." it's shorthand for that. But speaking of those kinds of ads, or not the bullshit ads, the real medicine ads, there is one for women of a certain age going through menopause, and they have hot flashes, which I understand that hot flashes are very uncomfortable. My wife is, she's getting to a certain age, and she's starting to have the menopause stuff going on. And she gets hot flashes now and again. And you know, they're not horrendously bad, but they're bad enough. And we see this ad about hot flashes, and it's a medication to help, you know, lessen the severity of the hot flashes, the duration of the hot flashes. It's to help people out. And, you know, and these ads, they always show people doing all kinds of interesting things. You know, they're square dancing, or they're hiking, or they're mountain climbing, or they're hang gliding, or they're zip lining, or they're taking part in an insurrection or something. Well, they don't do that part. they're always doing something interesting, but other than they're never just sitting watching TV, which most of us are doing. They never just show them sitting and reading a book. If they do show them reading a book, they're out in a garden with hummingbirds flying around them, and they're sitting in an oversized wicker chair, and they pull their legs up underneath themselves as they read their book. They're not just sitting down on a couch in the house, just slovenly, lankily hanging off the couch while reading their book. Anyway. So Amy says, watch this ad and listen to the warning of the side effects that they have at the end of the ad. So I do. And it goes through the, possible side effects are dizziness, maybe nausea. There's just a couple. I can't remember exactly all of them. But they go through a list of a few. And the last side effect that they mention for a medication, a prescription medication that is meant to combat hot flashes, the last item of the warning list of possible side effects is hot flashes. How do you know if the medicine's working? Isn't that supposed to stop the hot flashes when one of the side effects is hot flashes? It's like Viagra. One of the side effects of Viagra is not an erection. But I thought, huh?
Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Well, we've come to another end of another episode of Dimland Radio. Thank you for listening. Be skeptical, and extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And this is your host, Jim, Dr. Denford Simmons, reminding you that you've been listening to Dimland Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network, and that you should sleep with the lights off.
You can check out my show notes at dimland.com. Just click on the blog option. And you can email your questions and comments to drdim@dimland.com. That's drdim@dimland.com. And the opening theme song, Ram, is by Theolius and is used with permission.
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
What did you think of tonight's installment of Dimland Radio?
Well,
I'm going to hell.